Well, welcome once again. Hope you're well, people. Yeah, got an interesting guest on tonight, as always. Keep checking out. And share with people that might enjoy it. I've got Keith on tonight, double-barreled surname as well, Blakemore Noble. An interesting chap. Anyway, sit back, relax, grab a coffee. Oh, tonight, people, we have got Keith, and he's quite high up in the UK somewhere. He'll tell us about that in a minute. But my show is about business, and it's about dyslexia, and it's also about adversity, and something that I banned on about, and one of the key elements that I believe is missing for a lot of people's success is their self-belief and their confidence. So I brought a guest on. Is one of his areas of expertise is just that thing. So good evening, Keith.
A very good evening to you too, Kirk. How are you doing?
Oh, wonderful. And it's great to talk to you. I know we had a bit of a chat the other week just as, because a lot of my guests that I get on, I actually know them through my networking. I've actually know a bit about the background so that when I get them on the show, I already know a little bit about them, which makes it a bit better, I think. And in your case, I'd had you as a friend of a friend. So we had a bit of a pre-chat last week, which was, I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it, mate.
Yeah, me too. It was cool. There's a lot of stuff that we cover there. It was great fun.
Oh. Yeah, cool. So anyway, confidence. Let's talk, because you've got different streams and different things you do. But let's talk about confidence. Take us a bit through that, what you do and what you think about it, really.
Yeah, cool. All right. Confidence. So my name is Keith Blakemore Noble, and I am the Confidence Alchemist. So I help people to transform their deepest fears and phobias into their greatest strengths. And a lot of it is around confidence. So why do I feel that confidence is such an important thing? To me, when you look around the world, look at all the massive problems that we've got, and there's all the different types of discrimination, and you've got racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, all of these different things. To me, the underlying thing there is around confidence. And the reason I say that is if somebody is confident in themselves, they've got self-confidence. They know who they are. They're confident in who they are. They're confident in their abilities. Then they've got nothing to fear from other people. It's when they have insecurities, when they lack self-confidence, that's when they start to perceive people who are different. They kind of see them as a threat. And by increasing one's own confidence in oneself, then we move away from viewing anybody who's different as being a threat, and we start to see it as we're all different, and we all have things that we can bring. I mean, if you take any machine like a car or something, if you made a car out of absolutely nothing but engines, well, you'd have a lot of engines, but you'd have no doors, no windows, nothing to sit on. You wouldn't be able to steer, and even if you could steer, it wouldn't be able to roll along the road. All the components in the car are different. They're all different in some way, but it's by uniting them. They all bring their own strengths. They all work together to make the car something much better than just the sum of its parts. And that's the same with us as people. When we can start to really be confident in who we are, so we don't feel threatened by other people, but we can actually see them for who they are, and we can work together, we can all bring our strengths together, who knows where that can lead humanity.
Well, do you know what? I've never thought of it like that, Keith. And yeah, my head was spinning when you started talking about that, because you're right. I know personally, I know I'm confident. I am now. I never used to be, but I'm confident now. I know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. So do you know all this stuff that's going on and all the stuff you're talking about? I take a lot of it with a pinch of salt. Can I affect it? No. Is it affecting me? No. And take, you know what I mean by that, don't you? I've got compassion, but it's not making me go, making me angry, going, oh, that's wrong, oh, that's wrong. And same in a business scenario, I'm quite happy to work with other people on the same thing. And it's a bit like this. I believe, and that's what I try and do, is instill confidence in people. And I could go, well, I don't really want Keith on here because he talks about confidence and that's what I talk about and that's what I'm going about. So actually, he's a threat. Well, you're not a threat to me because you've got your own little world. You've got your own people to talk to. So, and I think that how you've summed confidence up in that respect, I think is, I've never heard anyone explain like that before. And I think that is, I'm going to say the word beautiful. I think it's beautiful, Keith.
Thank you. Thank you, Kurt. I appreciate that. I mean, yeah, I've very often come upon people who talk about confidence, how it's important to be confident in particular fields. But I think it's important to take that step back and realize what confidence gets. It's not just giving you the ability to do something, but it's actually changing you as a person to become a much more rounded person, much better able to accept everybody for who they are, which also means, and this is one of the things that truly confident people do, they're not afraid to ask for help.
No. Yeah.
Because they have the confidence to know, hey, look, I know what I can do. I know what I can't do. I know the areas where I need help. I'm going to ask for help because that's a good thing to do. By asking for help, I will get help. I will then be better at what I'm doing. It's the insecure people who lack the confidence to go, oh, well, I don't want to ask for help because they might laugh at me. They might see me as weak. If people are laughing at you, it's because of their own insecurities. They're kind of laughing at what they see in you that's actually part of them. That's what they're laughing at. It has nothing to do with you. It's everything to do with them.
Yeah, that's another good point. I'm liking this, Keith. Really, really interesting because there's a lot of people. I mean, because I'm trying to change the perception of dyslexia in the UK. Mm. So, and one of the biggest hurdles that a dyslexic person faces, apart from the obvious, you know, the reading and writing, all that mm-hmm. sort of stuff, is the confidence, their self-confidence, because internally they've got a little voice in the head saying, you're not as good as that person, you're not as good as that person. And then on mm-hmm. top of that, that opens them up where they're not very confident, which opens them up for people not to see something different in them. So they get a negative reaction. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? Because they're not confident. I'm not good enough. So other people see them, oh, you're not very good. You're not confident. You're not good enough. And it's like a downward spiral.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's very true for any areas that you look at. What we focus on is what we tend to find. Every single one of us, we're good at some things, we're bad at other things. Every time we set out to do something, sometimes we'll succeed, sometimes we'll fail. The people who focus on the times that they failed, the times they got it wrong, the times it didn't work out, they start to tell themselves, oh, I'm rubbish at this because I always get it wrong. And as soon as you start telling yourself that, your unconscious starts filtering through all the memories of everything that we've done before. And it goes, oh, yeah, we're right, because look, we got that wrong, we got that wrong, we got that wrong. Oh man, we suck at this, we're rubbish. Which then means next time you go to do it, you're coming from the mindset of, well, I'm not very good at this, so I probably will fail. Of course you're going to fail. People with a more positive view of it, they go, okay, yeah, I fail at some things and I succeed as well. I mean, look, I succeeded there, and I succeeded there. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's brilliant at everything. Nobody succeeds 100% of the time. Nobody fails 100% of the time. But when you get people with dyslexia, for example, they're already perceived to be at a disadvantage because of their dyslexia. Some people will laugh at them and belittle them and, oh, you can't even read and write properly. God, how stupid are you? Well, clearly you and I both know people with dyslexia, they're not stupid. It's just they have a different way of seeing and interpreting the letters and words on the page. It's nothing to do with intelligence or stupidity. But if that person is already a bit lacking in confidence and then people start laughing at them, well, that just totally blows them. However, yeah. If they do have self-confidence, if they know in themselves, hey, you know what? Yeah, I have difficulty reading and writing. Yeah, so what? I'm very good at this. These are my strengths. These are what I'm good at. Somebody comes along and laughs at their reading and writing ability. Yeah, wow, big deal. You can laugh at my reading and writing. Wow, good for you. I'm just going to carry on and make my next millions.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll give you a good example of that. I've got a really good friend of mine, and I do a bit of public speaking. I do it at networking events and what have you. And he actually introduced me. Well, he did put it all over Facebook as the illiterate fool. Now, a lot of people go, they'll probably gulp. I laugh my head off because it doesn't bother me. It doesn't vex me. And I laughed as well because, ironically, that's what people think.
Mm,
so, yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of people actually think that. So it's like, well, it's irony. I'm confident in myself. If someone had said it to me 5-6 years ago, I might have been a bit upset about it. Or if it was someone else saying it to me, but because he's a friend and I know him, I knew what he meant. Mm. And I just laughed. But a lot of people would take extreme offense to that. But I'm like, well, I'm confident in what I'm doing. And I even say if I'm doing anything and I'm writing on a board or, you know, I'm going to spell something wrong, so I'll just roll with it. You'll know what I'm saying. But
yep.
It's not an issue for me. I'm not bothered.
Exactly.
And that's what I want other people to be, not bothered. I'm not saying just do it haphazard and make mistakes and don't care. And that's not what I'm saying. Mm. What I'm saying is you're going to try your best of your abilities. And guess what? If you put a letter in the wrong way around or miss something out, who actually cares? I don't. I think it's a nonsense. So yeah, it's good. Good points.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's all about owning who you are. This is me. This is who I am. You can either be afraid and try and hide away those aspects of you, or you can own them and say, you know what? Yeah, yeah. This is me. Yes, I'm dyslexic. And your problem? A good example that I sometimes cite of this, it's nothing to do with dyslexia, but it's about the whole standing firm in who you are in the face of society's views. Are you familiar with the comedian Eddie Izzard?
Oh, yeah, very much so, yeah. And he's obviously quite, if people don't know who he is, because I've got people listening all over, yeah, he's quite... It's quite a different individual in the way he dresses, nail varnish, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, go on, carry on.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a very, very surreal comedian, and he is a transvestite, he says himself. Yep, I'm a transvestite. I'm a man who likes to wear female clothing. And he's telling a story about one time he was in his earlier days. He was in his full, beautiful dress, makeup, nails, the lot, walking through Leicester Square. And he was saying that most people didn't give a glance, but he saw there was a small gang of young lads. They saw him and they started laughing and pointing. Man in a dress, man in a dress. And as he got right, as he was walking past them, got really close to them, they went, you're wearing a dress. And he went, yes. And they went, they didn't know how to respond. They were expecting him to feel embarrassed and to shy away. But he just went, yes, I'm a man in a dress. And... at which point they went, and they kind of just disappeared off because he had the confidence to say, yeah, I am a man. I am wearing a dress. Well spotted. And no shame, no embarrassment. This is me. This is who I am. And it's when you have that level of confidence so that you're wearing, no pun intended, you're wearing whoever you are as a badge. Not even a badge of honor, but just a badge of fact. Yeah, this is me. This is who I am. If you don't like it, nah, that's your problem. There are plenty of people over here who will like me for it.
Yeah, I mean, I wear a lot of people not see me physically, but I wear silly T-shirts, as it were. They're not silly, but they're printed T-shirts. Ones I've got one on now because I've been to a networking group, and it's actually a white tuxedo rugby shirt.
Oh, so, right, nice.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And when people first see me, they go, why are you doing that? Well, it sparks a conversation because people ask you why. And also it's a bit of a physical symbol that you can't see that I'm dyslexic. So I'm bringing a difference to the front. And what I'm also saying to people is you don't have to blend in. I tried to blend in for the most of my life.
Yeah.
And you do not have to blend in. It's okay to be you because no one else in the world is you. You are you. So be you, just do what you do, you know, do things and be comfortable in what you wear. And if I go to, I went to a meeting yesterday and I don't know why I did it, but I put a shirt on and a pair of trousers, and I felt really uncomfortable because I felt like I was betraying what I'm doing and what I am. And actually, the people I went to see went, "Oh, really disappointed you didn't come in one of your T-shirts. Why have you come dressed like that?" So yeah. The fact I was dressed, as you would say, normal, or I was dressed very professionally, they were like, "Why are you dressed like that? You don't dress like that." So they were questioning me, dressing like everybody else does. So I was actually, because people know who I am, I've become odd, dressing normal.
Yeah. It's like...
How bonkers is that?
It's like Richard Branson. He says the bank manager knows that we're in trouble when I go and visit him dressed in a suit. Because he's always in his jumper.
Yeah, I bet as well.
That's him. And he does that for all of his meetings. He says, "Yeah, I go to the bank manager dressed like this. The bank manager knows that we've got trouble if I dress up in a suit." So, yeah, it's just be who you are. Because... As you say, be you. Was it Dr. Seuss said that be you because everybody else has taken?
Yeah, probably. But he's probably been passed off as some management guru
that's come up with it.
It'd be on there. It'd be on a meme somewhere with someone's name under it, won't it?
Oh,
but yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So right, so we've talked a bit about that. So what do you do with people then, Keith, for the confidence? I think that'd be quite interesting.
Well, okay, cool. So what I do is. Generally, with confidence, I kind of lead people on the journey that I myself made, because for my first 40-odd years of life, I was painfully shy, very, very, very shy. I couldn't speak to strangers. I would get anxiety symptoms if faced with speaking to strangers, which, as you can imagine, make for a very lonely life. It's kind of hard to make friends when you can't speak to strangers. And it reached a point where it was also impacting my career. In those days, I worked in IT. I worked in IT for 20 years. And it kind of reached the point where you reach the level where you've got to go to seminars and workshops to keep your skills updated with the current trends. And that's also how you network. Once you reach a certain level in your career, that's how career progression occurs, because it's the people you meet at various seminars and so on that you build your networks, and that's how you get to hear of other positions and how you get recommended for them. But yep. I would see, oh, this looks like an interesting seminar. I really must go to that one. That would be cool. And I'd look at the agenda, and I would feel my heart sink when I saw the first words on the agenda: registration and coffee. I could feel myself going, "Oh God, you mean I've got to speak with strangers? I can't. You know what? I'm going to give this seminar a miss." And so not only was it affecting my social life, my personal life, right, it was starting to affect my professional life as well. And I started studying NLP, hypnosis, and similar tools purely so that I could reprogram my own mind, conquer my phobias, conquer my confidence issues, etc., which I did. I did that very successfully. And in the process of doing that, I started to realize, hey, I can actually use this to help other people as well. And I enjoyed helping other people doing it. So I set up as the Confidence Alchemist to take people on the journey that I went through, but shortcutting it so they don't spend 6 years learning all of the stuff that I learned, condensing it all and just taking them through the processes of eliminating the... Because a big thing with shyness is we get a lot of negative emotion, fear, panic, anxiety when we think about or when we meet strangers. So we start off by eliminating all of that. So the thought of meeting a stranger goes from, panic, to, okay, it's a stranger. Uh-huh. And once you've got that, which tends to be as far as a lot of confidence places take you, they take you to that point and no further, because that still leaves you in a big mess. Because, for example, Kirk, you and I could work together with these tools. I could, if you wanted to, make you totally confident and utterly convinced that you were a very good brain surgeon. So you would feel totally confident about brain surgery. However, the moment you walked into theatre to actually perform brain surgery, you'd go, "I have no idea what to do now. I'm a very good brain surgeon. I'm confident, but I don't know what to do." And it's the same when a lot of confidence stuff, they make you feel confident. So, yes, I can go and speak with strangers. You walk up to a stranger, "Hello, And I don't know how to take the conversation from here because I've never done this before.
So there's what you need is a combination of confidence and ability. So
exactly.
You're right. And it's a bit like, anyway, that's another subject. It's a bit like respect and trust and honesty.
Yeah, yeah.
You need, you might be a very good surgeon, but your trust is like zero. So actually no one's going to want you to operate on them because you've got no trust.
Exactly.
And if you're a crap surgeon, but you've got high trust. So it's the same thing, and you need the combination of those two elements.
Yeah, and that's what so when I work with people, we focus on the whole lot, not just the make you confident, but then give you the skills, perhaps the social skills, if it's around shyness and interacting with people, help you develop the skills you need to be able to do whatever it is you're now confident that you can do.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's really good. I really like that because that's like I said at the start, a lot of people need that because they're, loads of people that are not confident and the networking and the business owners and like, oh, I don't really want to do that. I don't worry. As an example, don't want to do Facebook Live, which is if people don't start using the tools that are around them, then, and that's I'm just using that as an example. More and more content's being consumed by video.
Yeah.
Facebook's going more video. So if you want to progress your business, that's an example. So you need to get past that fear of everyone's going to laugh at me when I video myself. No, they're not, because people like to look at people and like to see what people are doing. And it's just practice. It's practice. If you've got the confidence, then it's practicing. Or some people can give you some tools to get over that. So that's wonderful stuff that you're doing there. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good, mate. So that's all the confidence stuff with the NLP. So because you do other things as well. What are the things you're into?
Oh, that's a good question. So I have separate but kind of related, I suppose. I have a thing called Winning in Life and Work, where we've done two of these books so far. I'm just finishing in the final stages of compiling the third one, where I bring together experts who have got a message to share with the world. They each contribute a 20-page chapter. That's about 6,000 words. On their particular expertise. They contribute that chapter. We bring them together in a book. We've done two so far, Winning in Life and Work, Volume 1, and Winning in Life and Work, New Beginnings. We're just putting the finishing touches to Winning in Life and Work, Success Secrets. And it's these experts sharing their secrets of what it takes to win in life and work so that they can get this message out far and wide to a much, much wider audience. Coupled with that, later this year, we'll be launching the Winning in Life and Work blog and the Winning in Life and Work podcast, because something people mentioned was the books are great, but if they only come out once a year or once every couple of years, that's a big gap in between where it would be nice to get a steady stream of tips and hints to help you win in life and in work. So that's what we're going to do with the blog and the podcast. So a big thing that's going to be increasing. And the other thing that I do, which is a lot of fun, I do stage hypnosis and card magic. So I do it for entertainment, which sounds daft. Why would you do stage hypnosis when you can do hypnosis to help people with confidence and with phobias and so on? It's actually exactly the same tools, exactly the same techniques and processes. It's just in a therapy context. The aim is to help the person change the way they interact with things. On the stage context, the outcome is helping people to be sufficiently relaxed to be able to do whatever daft things you're inviting them to do on stage. But it's exactly the same stuff, the same tools. And the reason for the magic is I sometimes go out in the streets and do hypnosis on the streets. But if you walk up to someone and say, "Hey, would you like to be hypnotized?" They kind of look at you as if you're a weirdo and run off.
Yeah, I'll belt you.
Yeah, I'll belt you. Yeah, I haven't had that one yet, thankfully. But on the other hand, if you go up to someone and say, "Hey, do you want to see a trick? Pick a card," and you've got a deck of cards there, that people know how to do that, and that gets you an in with them. I was lucky enough to spend a day of private tuition from Paul Daniels a couple of years back, which
you're right,
really
that's a lot.
That's the one. That's him. Which really, really helped me get my head around not just doing tricks, but how you take a trick, make it bigger, smaller, make it yours, incorporate it, change it. Yes. So I just blend the two together now with the stage stuff, which is great fun.
I've lost you.
I'm back. I can hear you now. Are you there?
Yeah, you're back. You're back. Yeah, you're back. Well, don't know what happened then. So you mix the two together, the stage stuff and the your hypnosis. That sounds really good. It's really interesting. And just whizzing back a bit, I'm quite interested with the books as well, because that's why I want to talk to you about that, because we spoke about it last week. Mm-hmm. So you're doing all your confidence thing in the book. I think the book's quite intriguing because obviously a lot of people like to do write books, so you know you can talk in a minute about how people get involved with that. And I think just picking up on the point about the book as well, I only read two books last year because I don't enjoy reading books. I only read books when I want to, so I probably wouldn't have even read yours. Mm-hmm. But I listened to loads of podcasts and I watched loads of video, so I think it's really good what you're doing. You're hitting another audience, another way of your customers consuming your work, wares as it were, because that's what I do. I do a podcast, I do a radio show, I do blogs, I do YouTube channels, I do Facebook lives. So depending how people consume their information, I'm hitting them with it. And one of the things I've just started doing now with a friend of mine is I've also started adding some subtitles to some of my videos, because there's a large deaf community in the UK who obviously would benefit from some of the stuff that we're saying, and even some of the idiotic stuff I do, mm-hmm. but they will benefit from it. So why not include them by giving them a format that suits them, or they can understand and they can get involved with? So I think you're right to do what you're doing by doing it in the books, but moving it into another medium. I think that's fantastic, mate.
Yeah, it just covers all as you say, all different ways that the people like information. Personally speaking, for me, I really dislike the current situation where everybody's going to video, because personally speaking, I much prefer to read the text, because I can skim through it. I can repeat bits if I've missed it. I can skip over bits. I can refer to it. That said, I know that a lot of people like video, and so I'm embracing a lot of my work has been written so far. I'm like yourself, starting to embrace video and audio a lot more. So as you say, it's about getting the message out to people in the medium that they prefer, so that makes most sense for them. So yeah, make it available across everything so that you can see it, hear it, or read it.
Yeah, and on the video stuff, not everyone's good at video. And some people might be actually quite boring when they do a video. And I think a lot of people, what will happen is I think there's going to be a big swing towards the video, and then people will drop out of it because, hang on, I'm not getting interactions here, I'm getting no response. Yeah. So I think what's going to happen, there's going to be a big explosion in the next 6 to 12 months of everybody jumping on it, and then people falling off because either they've not got the time to keep doing it, or they realise that it's not the right for them. You know what I mean? Like written words not right for people. So I think that's what's going to happen. And I think it'll settle down, and you'll get better quality, because people will be raising the game to get people engaged. So yeah, that's good. Yeah, really good. Yeah. So we're getting a bit close to the end, Keith, and the time just fritters away, whichever is the right word. So before we get to the end, I think it'd be really important for you to share where people can find you and where you are in the UK, because I was shocked and stunned when you told me where you lived and where you're born and where you grew up. And I'm like, no, that doesn't make sense. He's having a laugh. So anyway, tell everyone where you are and what you're doing and where they can get hold of you.
Cool. All righty. Well, I live in the city of Elgin, which is up in the northeast of Scotland, halfway between Aberdeen and Inverness. I was born about 6 miles away, grew up in the Speyside village of Aberlour. There were about 700 people there. Beautiful it was. I then went down to university down in Colchester and Essex, then ended up working down in England for 25 years. And then I came back to Scotland via stints in the US and in Indonesia. So that's where I live at the moment. And the best way people can find me is the website, theconfidencealchemist.com. And in fact, sorry, go on.
No, that's cool, Gil.
Yep. Okay. I was going to say, if they go, if your listeners go to theconfidencealchemist.com, which is all one word, .com/5-secrets, then they can get a free white paper, which goes into a lot more detail and background about confidence and what it is and the different components that make it up and how they can start to develop their own confidence.
An exclusive. That's brilliant, that, Keith. Absolutely wonderful. It's been great having you as a guest, and I'm really glad that Lara connected us because she's up in Scotland. She's a lovely person as well, her and David. So thanks for being on the show tonight. Thanks for sharing that, and I hope people connect with you because I know they're going to benefit from you, mate, and I think it's wonderful. So thanks a lot.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me, Kirk. Take care.
The Dougie Stone Show.
Okay, before we move on and close the show for the week again, if you're listening to this on the podcast on the 30th of March this year, 2017, I'll be over in Birmingham for the Business Growth Show, and I'm going to be doing some Facebook interviews with guests and also the presenters. And one of the radio hosts, Gary Jones, I'm getting him to come along as well, and he's going to be doing some audio podcasts with individuals, so check them out and look out for them. So that's good. And there's another project I've been working on with a good friend of mine called Con, and we've done the very first Car Fools, which you'll find on Dougie Stone's YouTube channel, not Facebook. If you've got some YouTube channel and search Car Fools, and we intend to do more of them as time goes on. But anyway, that's enough from me, and thanks for listening, and speak to you soon. Well, that's another show gone, people. I've got some cracking guests coming up for you on the next few episodes. Why not check some of the back catalogue and subscribe? Just in case you forgot who's listening to. I'll get to sing that again for you. Yeah, over the next few weeks, I've got some really good guests. Got Taz Thornton coming on. Got the one, the only Brad Burton. If you don't know who he is, just Google him. And a really great guy called Mark Asquith. So they're just some of the people I'm bringing you. So, like I said, please subscribe and please check out some of the back episodes. Thanks for listening.